On this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, we examine the remarkable run of Bethlehem forward Michael Bevenue as he leads the Eagles to a possible number one seed in the Section 2 hockey playoffs. On the basketball court, LaSalle posted a signature victory just in time for next week's sectional seeding meeting, while Queensbury has some injury concerns heading into the Class A girls playoffs. In wrestling, Section 2 will crown its large and small school division champions this weekend in Glens Falls. We look at the number one seeds heading into the tournament, all of this plus the start of the Section 2 bowling championships, right here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome to another edition of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Jonas, editor of CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Bethlehem's Michael Bevenue is making a bid to become one of a select few Section 2 hockey players to have a 50-goal season. Entering the Eagles' final regular season game Friday against Burnt Hills Boston Spa, Bevenue has scored 45 goals and added 22 assists to lead the section in scoring with 67 points. His last five games have been exceptional, as he has notched 20 goals and 5 assists to help Bethlehem solidify its hold on first place in the Capital District High School Hockey League. This stretch included back-to-back 6-goal performances against Albany Academy last Friday, February 1st, and against the Capital District Jets on Wednesday, February 6th. His 6 goals against Capital District shattered the previous school record of 40 goals set by Thomas Leibold last year. What makes this recent run of success impressive is that Bevenue has achieved it while anchoring a new line. He started the year with Justin Chinelli and Connor Carroll, each of whom are excellent offensive players in their own right. But towards the end of January, Bethlehem coach Dylan Lappe moved Bevenue onto a line with his younger brother William and Ben Levine, and that unleashed Michael's offensive potential. He posted back-to-back hat tricks in Bethlehem's victories over the GMSVS Storm and Christian Brothers Academy. Then he notched a pair of goals in a 4-1 victory over LaSalle, and then beat two of the top goalies in the league, Albany Academy's Dan Guy and Capital District's Philip Ryan, 6 times each to put himself in position for a 50-goal season. If he gets there Friday night against Burnt Hills Boston Spa, Bevenue would join an exclusive club that features 2 Glens Falls players. Jason Krogman, who scored 52 goals in the 1989-90 season, and Matt Schufelt, who set the Section 2 record with 58 goals during the 2004-2005 campaign. Getting there might not be that easy for Bevenue. For all of its recent struggles within the league, Burnt Hills Boston Spa has been strong defensively during its 4-game winless streak against the CDHSHL. The problem has been with its offense, as Burnt Hills Boston Spa has scored only 7 goals in its last 4 league outings. It looked as though Burnt Hills Boston Spa had resolved its issue in a 10-1 non-league victory at Section 9's Monroe-Woodbury last Friday, but it struggled to hit the back of the net again in a 4-2 loss to Albany Academy the next night. Now, some of that had to do with Dan Guy, who posted 36 saves. But through the first 2 periods, Burnt Hills Boston Lake, or Burnt Hills Boston Spa, struggled to create high-quality scoring chances. Passes weren't connecting, and Albany Academy's defense swarmed on the loose pucks. Defensively, Burnt Hills Boston Spa remains rock solid, with goalie Kyle Grace anchoring things between the pipes. Grace is coming off a 40-save performance against Albany Academy, and he helped limit Bevenue to a goal and an assist in Burnt Hills Boston Spa's 7-4 victory over Bethlehem on January 5th. Coincidentally, that was the only loss Bethlehem has had since mid-December. What happens in Friday's rematch at Bethlehem will be interesting. Now, even if he doesn't reach 50 goals during the regular season, it's a strong bet that Michael Bevenue will hit that mark during the playoffs as Bethlehem pursues its second straight Section 2 title. With two potent scoring lines, the Eagles look like a team that will be difficult to stop. Certainly, Michael Bevenu has been unstoppable. If that trend continues, I think Bethlehem will hoist the championship plaque again this year. Two area basketball teams saw their bids for an undefeated season come to an end this week, and another may be joining that list. LaSalle handed Chalmont its first loss of the season Thursday night with an 80-69 overtime victory in a Colonial Council boys basketball contest. The Sabres rallied from a 10-point deficit at the start of the fourth quarter to tie the score at 62, but the Cadets went on an 18-7 run in overtime to knock the Sabres out of the unbeaten ranks. Now, the result wasn't entirely surprising. LaSalle hung with Chalmont the first time they met in early December before losing 63-60. And the Cadets have been one of the tougher defensive teams in the league, as they've allowed an average of less than 54 points per game to Colonial Council opponents. However, their inconsistencies on offense have led to some tough losses, including setbacks against Colony and Mahanison in the last week leading up to the victory over Chalmont. Ultimately, this win over Chalmont is a good confidence booster and a resume builder as LaSalle prepares for the Section 2 Class AA tournament. But an 8-5 league record and a 10-8 overall mark may cost the Cadets a high seed and any hopes of a home playoff game. The seeding meeting is next week, and we will have all the playoff matchups on CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. In girls basketball, Amsterdam ended Queensbury's bid for a perfect season, and probably any hopes of the number one seed for the Class A tournament, with a 56-50 victory on Thursday. Jackie Stanovich and Elena Fadulo combined to score 16 of Amsterdam's 18 points in the fourth quarter to lead the running Rams to the victory and avenge an earlier loss to the Spartans in the process. It should be noted that Queensbury was missing two of its key players, as leading scorer Hope Sullivan and starting point guard Megan O'Connor were sidelined with ankle injuries. The Spartans had been making up for the absence of Sullivan and O'Connor with their brand of stifling defense and strong individual efforts from Haley Ballard, who had scored more than 20 points in four straight games heading into Thursday's showdown. But Amsterdam can also play strong defense, and that was the great equalizer in the rematch Thursday. With the exception of an 18-4 run to start the third quarter, Queensbury did not look like the team that dominated the Foothills Council through the first 2 months of the season, and Amsterdam took full advantage. As mentioned before, Queensbury's loss likely assured Avril Park of the number one seed for the Class A playoffs. Queensbury would have needed to run the table in convincing fashion to have a shot at taking the top seed away from Avril Park, which has a 12-2 record in the Suburban Council entering their showdown Friday with Saratoga. Given that the Suburban Council traditionally has been a stronger league top to bottom than the Foothills Council, the Section 2 seeding committee would have needed a truly compelling argument to seed Queensbury ahead of Avril Park. In my opinion, that argument has probably gone out the window now, but Queensbury will still be one of the leading candidates to end Avril Park's run as Section 2 champions. That is, if the Spartans can get healthy in time. Now, the undefeated team that I believe is in jeopardy of being the next one to be knocked from the undefeated ranks is Bethlehem. They're going to Troy on Friday to face the Flying Horses in a battle of Suburban Council Division leaders. Both teams are undefeated in league play. Bethlehem has been undefeated overall. Troy suffered a loss most recently to Chalmont. Now, the reason why I think Bethlehem might be in jeopardy is because Troy has two really top-notch scorers in Latif Faizan and Nazir Merritt. These two guys easily can eclipse over 20 points per game. And it'll be up to Bethlehem's defense to try to contain, not stop, but just contain Faizan and Merritt if they have any hopes of getting through this game unscathed. Troy will have its hands full too. Bethlehem, they do a great job of balancing their offense. And as I mentioned before, their defense has been rock solid this year too. So it's not going to be easy for Troy either. But this is a home game for the Flying Horses. And I just feel like their firepower might be a little too much for Bethlehem to overcome. If I'm wrong, so be it. But I have a feeling Troy will win this game on Friday night. When we come back from the commercial break, we'll dive into the Section 2 Wrestling Championships here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. The Section 2 wrestling season wraps up this weekend, with the large and small school individual championships being contested at the Cool Insuring Arena in Glens Falls. This is where local wrestlers qualify for the state meet, which takes place later this month at the Times Union Center in Albany. The top seeds in the large school division reflect the parity we've seen in Section 2 this season. Shenandoah, Saratoga, Columbia, and Niskayuna all have a pair of number one seeds, while Shaker, Queensbury, Mahoneson, Burnhills Boston Lake, Colony, Averill Park, and Boston Spa each have one wrestler owning a number one seed. In Division 2, welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. The Section 2 wrestling season wraps up this weekend, with the large and small school individual championships being held at the Cool Insuring Arena in Glens Falls. This is where local wrestlers qualify for the state meet, which takes place later this month at the Times Union Center in Albany. The top seeds in the large school division reflect the parity we've seen in Section 2 this year. Shenandoah, Saratoga, Columbia, and Niskayuna all have a pair of number one seeds, while Shaker, Queensbury, Mahoneson, Burnhills Boston Lake, Colony, Averill Park, and Boston Spa each have a wrestler owning a top seed. In Division 2, Cobleskill Richmondville has three wrestlers with number one seeds, while Maple Hill, Warrensburg, and Duanesburg each have two wrestlers seeded number one. One storyline to follow is in the large school division, where Ryan and Dylan Sleezer from Queensbury are the number one and number three seeds at 113 pounds respectively. Ryan and Dylan have competed against each other at other tournaments this season, including the Class B sectionals last weekend, where Ryan defeated Dylan in the finals. If they should match up against each other again in the finals this weekend, it'll be interesting to see how they compete against each other, knowing that a state tournament berth is on the line for the winner. In the small school division, the matchup I hope we will see is at 195 pounds with number one seed Nolan McNeil of Warrensburg and number two seed Devon Shader of Coxsackie Athens. McNeil owns a 21-1 record, while Shader has a 36-2 mark. Shader's accomplishments this season include winning his weight class at the prestigious Taiki Burnaby tournament outside of Rochester. While McNeil has won every match he's completed, his only loss involved an injury default against Hadley Luzerne Lake George's Cody York back in January. The individual winners at the Section 2 tournament automatically advance to the state tournament, which takes place February 22nd and 23rd at the Times Union Center. For the wrestlers who fall short, they can still receive at-large bids to states. By the way, I talked about the parity in Section 2 wrestling this year. Nowhere was that more evident than at last weekend's Class A Championships, where the top three teams were separated by 1 point. Shenandoah came out on top with 196.5 points, while Columbia was second with 196 points, and Shaker placed third with 195.5 points. Shaker had an opportunity to actually win the sectional title in the final bout of the championship round. But even though Brian Garrity defeated Colony's Hayden Rowe, the 2-1 decision earned the Blue Bison 3 points, which left them 1 point short of tying Shenandoah and 2 points short of winning the whole thing outright. Nonetheless, it was a great effort by Shaker, which had its best point total at sectionals in a very long time. And it was also a great duel between Shen and Columbia for first place. Great way to end the Class A wrestling season. The end of the Section 2 bowling season is also upon us, as we are in the middle of the sectional tournaments. The girls' tournament took place on Thursday at Schenectady's Boulevard Bowl, and the Class B boys' tournament took place Friday. Class C and Class A boys' tournaments are taking place next Monday and Tuesday, also at Boulevard Bowl. The girls' tournament featured a stellar performance by Mahanison. The Mighty Warriors had a three-game stretch where they rolled a 973, a 983, and a 995 to pull away for a convincing victory over the rest of the field. The final margin of victory was nearly 300 pins over runner-up Colony. Kenzie Simmons played a major role in Mahanison's success. The sophomore opened the afternoon session with games of 246 and 266 on her way to a six-game series of 1266. That's tops among all competitors across all three classes. Two other Mahanison bowlers, Amber Loopy and Katie Adamek, also had six game totals above 1,000 pins to help Mahanison finish first with a score of 5,429 pins. Mahanison qualified in the large school division for the state tournament for the second year in a row, while Class B champion Cahoes earned a small school division berth with a total pinfall of 5,351. The Tigers led all of Section 2 in the morning session with a score of 2,633 and concluded the afternoon session with scores of 928 and 914 to claim the Class B title. Middleburg finished first among Class C and D teams. Besides Mahanas and Cahoes, Section 2 will send a third team to the state tournament in Syracuse. The top six overall bowlers not affiliated with one of the two schools qualified for states will represent our region in the intersectional competition. This year's Section 2 girls team includes Middleburg's Jaden Rose and Carolyn Schultes, Hoosick Valley's Leia Henkel, Gilderland's Lauren Buis, Schenectady's Katie Pullamain, and Lansingburg's Hannah Jacobs. So, good luck to Mahanson, good luck to Cahoes, and good luck to the Section 2 team at the state tournament in Syracuse. That will do it for this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. This is Rob Jonas of CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com reminding you that you can hear new episodes of this podcast every Friday on your favorite streaming service. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other episode, please email me at editor@CapitalRegionHSSports.com. That's editor@CapitalRegionHSSports.com. Next week, we'll be talking about seedings for the Section 2 basketball tournaments and take a look back at the sectional wrestling championships in Glens Falls. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast.